Today, my dear faithful, is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers of me, and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garments. For she said within herself, If I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a rout, he said, Give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that country. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there is a story of a young man who had a great devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. Every day, he would make a visit to a statue of Our Lady of Sorrows. He would kneel before her and stay there for some time to provide comfort to our Blessed Mother. In his mind, he thought of all that she suffered throughout her life, especially the 7 swords. The statue depicted these 7 swords running through Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And each of those swords told the young man a story. And each day, he would go through and count each of those swords, thinking over her sorrows. Beginning with the first sword, the prophecy of Simeon, when Our Lady was told her beloved son would be a sign of contradiction. From that first sword on through Our Lady's life unto the death of our Savior, the young man would meditate upon each and comfort our Blessed Mother as best he could. This youth was obviously very devout, but one day he had a great fall. He fell into mortal sin. However, despite his devotion, he did not think much of his sin. The next morning, as usual, he went to visit the image of Our Lady. He knelt down before her and began his usual devotion. He started with the first sort of sorrow, and counted on through to the 7th, thinking again about what each sword represents. The devout young man reached the 7th sword, but found that there was something wrong. He counted the swords again, and then again. He looked up at the statue, the face, the posture, everything about it, and saw that it was the same statue, and yet it was different. For in the heart there were now 8 swords instead of 7. Wondering at this, he stopped short in his prayers. It was then the young man heard a voice, and that voice told him that it was his crime, his mortal sin, that had added the 8th sword. Finally, realization of what he had done to his God and to his Blessed Mother washed over him. His sin was another wound in the heart of Our Lady, another sorrow for her, for his loving mother to bear. Sorrow filled his own heart, and he resolved to repair for the injury done. And thus, as soon as he could, he made a good and humble confession. How true it is, my dear faithful, that when men commit mortal sin, Our Lady does suffer from it. She suffers at seeing her children suffer spiritual death, just as the ruler in today's gospel suffered at the physical death of his daughter. This ruler, how must he have felt while he watched his daughter sick and dying, yet he found himself unable to do anything for her? But there was hope, for there was Christ. How quickly he must have run to find our Lord. He was a ruler in that city, a man well respected, but he did not care that a multitude of people were watching him hurrying along and beg of help. All he could think of was that his daughter lay at home and her life might already be over. Jesus Christ was the only one who could help. And so he ran to him, fell on his knees before him, and begged our Savior to come. "Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hands on her, and she shall live." Jesus Christ saw this man's sorrow and immediately agreed to come. When they arrived, they found the girl already dead, lying pale and lifeless on her bed. But Jesus Christ stepped forward, took hold of her cold, dead hand, and he commanded, "Daughter, arise." In an instant, her eyes opened. She rose from her bed, and she then stood up. The gospel draws a respectful veil over what happened next, the rejoicing that overcame that entire family. For here was their child who lay there dead before them, but was now standing now, alive once more. Scripture commentators explain that this raising of the dead to life symbolizes the forgiving of a mortal sin. For truly a soul in mortal sin is dead. On account of a grievous offense against God, sanctifying grace is driven out of the soul, and with it all merit earned, as well as the power to earn more merit. If that person should, God forbid, die in the state of mortal sin, then he will suffer the eternal death of hell. What sorrow this causes our Lord and our Blessed Mother. They suffer when men commit mortal sin. They suffer another Good Friday. Who can imagine that pain? Who can grasp what it must be like for our Blessed Mother? For today especially, it seems, she sees an entire world strewn with the dead souls of her children. How many swords of sorrow must pierce her immaculate heart today? And yet, there is hope. For there is Christ, his grace and his sacraments, most especially the sacrament of penance. As the Baltimore Catechism tells us, penance or confession is a sacrament in which the sins committed after baptism are forgiven. Our Lord instituted this sacrament when he told the apostles, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." From that moment, the apostles and all true priests after them have the power to forgive sins, to restore those who are dead in mortal sin back to life, the life of grace. Of course, the penitent must do his part and make a worthy confession. For a worthy confession, the Baltimore Catechism tells us, we must do 5 things. First, examine our conscience honestly. Second, have true sorrow or contrition for sin. Third, have a firm resolution to sin no more. Fourth, confess our sins to a priest. And lastly, perform the penance the priest gives. Of all these, though, the most essential is a true contrition and a firm resolution of sinning no more. Contrition is defined as a hatred of sin and a true grief of the soul for having offended God, united with a firm purpose of sinning no more. Hatred and grief is what it is called, but it is important to remember that does not mean we must have a feeling of hatred or sorrow. True contrition is a matter of the will, a decision to turn from sin and reject it as an offense against God, as well as because of all the evil that results from it. By a single mortal sin, we make ourselves dead to God and to Our Lady. Heaven is closed to us, and hell is wide open beneath us. When a person in mortal sin has true contrition and firm resolution and makes a good confession, then that soul is restored back to life. At that moment, our Blessed Mother has that same joy the ruler in today's gospel had. Her child, who was dead, is restored back to her, alive and well. For our own sake, then, and for the sake of our Blessed Mother, we, my dear faithful, must strive to lead a good and holy Catholic life. We must strive to fulfill all the duties of our state in life. And if ever, God forbid, you should fall, make use of the sacraments. Realize what sin has done to your soul and what wounds it causes in the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. Stir up true contrition. Resolve to turn from sin in its near occasions and go to confession as soon as possible. In this world where so many of their children seem to flock to the death of their souls, let us at least be a comfort to our Lord and our Lady. Give them the joy of having a child who is truly devoted to them and lives their life loving them and showing this love by doing all that is necessary to please them. Be a devoted child of Our Lady. And my dear faithful, she will always be your devoted mother. She will watch over you, protect you, and guard you in this life. Then, at the end of your life here on earth, she will be there to intercede for you and ask God Almighty to reward you 100-fold for all you have done for her. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.